I want us to let the Lord bless us tonight. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14. I want God to bless us tonight, minister to us, help us to draw just a little closer to Him. I really believe with all my heart God's looking for some people today who got joy in their life. You know, you're walking through a world of folks that's got problems. They need somebody to come through that's different. I mean, we sitting around whining about what's going on in our life like everybody else, they're going to figure we ain't no better off than they are. And you're saying, well, preacher, you ought to know where I'm at. You ought to know who you're with. I mean, I can be in a fire, but if He's with me, I can make it. I can be in a river, but if He's with me, I can make it. I can be in a boat in a storm and it's sinking, but if He's back there asleep, I ought to go back there and lay down beside Him and go to sleep, quit worrying about the wind. Come on, church. You remember when Peter woke him up in the boat and the boat was filling up with water? He said, Master, wake up, we're drowning. You ever notice he got up, and everybody knows he rebuked the wind and the waves, and they laid down, and the wind quit blowing. Do you know who he rebuked first? The dude that woke him up. Peter woke him up, he said, oh, you little faith. In other words, what in the world is your problem? I'll be honest with you, church. Any of y'all ever tried sleeping in water? This dude was tired because he's in a boat filling up with water and he's going to sleep. So bad they had to wake him up. This dude's out. And Jesus laying there asleep and they got to go back there and wake him up. Now, church, that's a good sign. He was safe and secure in his feelings. He wasn't worried about what was going to happen. And the rest of them's hanging out there, oh, my God, we drowned. What are we going to do? And all of a sudden they wake him up and he goes, oh, yeah, little faith. You know what he said? He said, you should have laid down and went to sleep. Hello? The world's looking for people who's got victory, who are overcomers, who can walk by something and know there's trouble coming, but still understand greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen to what the Bible tells us. Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul writes to the church at Corinth now said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight, God, for Your word. We ask, God, that You would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of Your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with You. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look right now and say, whoa, we're ready to have church. You know, when I first got in the church, everything was new to me. I mean, I've been in church, and I told y'all I'm Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Nazarene, Catholic. I mean, I've been dipped, anointed, sprinkled. I've been through it all. In results, I was 19 years old, drug addict, alcoholic, because I had religion, but I didn't have a relationship. Hello? I got in the church of God, and man, everything they talked about was new. And man, you know, they talked about getting victory, and I finally figured out what that was. I never forget, they used to have a saying in the church, you need to pray through. Any of you ever heard that? You need to pray through. Well, you know, I had a problem. I could pray all night and still wasn't getting through. Hello? Y'all ain't never had that problem. I can have a look at some of y'all. Y'all pray a few minutes and it's over with and y'all jump up. But I didn't have that kind of faith. Man, I'd pray all night knowing I had to do something the next day and I'd be all tired all day long. And I'd think, man, I can't go back and pray tonight. And there was an older gentleman, Brother Clements. I met at the Northport Church of God. You just had to know Brother Clements. He was one of them unusual people. Hello? 90-something years old, still preaching 3 or 4 times a week in the nursing homes and on the street corner. Weird fella. You just had to know him. He walked up to me one night and he said, young fella, you having trouble praying through, ain't you? I ain't said a word to him. He'd been praying about me. I said, yes, sir, Brother Clements. He said, you ever tried reading through? He said, sometimes just sit down and start reading the Bible. You'd be surprised what God will reveal to you while you're reading, and it'll take you through quicker than anything you'll ever pray about. I looked at him sort of funny. I said, I believe I'll try that. I went home, opened my Bible, and the first verse my eyes fell on was 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. And suddenly I realized I ain't got to deal with this no more. I'm going to get me some victory. I'm going to be an overcomer. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And all of a sudden I began to realize, man, I've got it made. I'm going to make it because God's going to be with me. Amen. And you know, church, today there is real victory for the saints. Hello? We don't have to walk around broken down, scared. I mean, I see people in the church that's afraid of what Satan's going to do. We got other folks afraid they're fixing to go broke. I'm going to wait till I get some amens this time. I'm on a phone and it's like I'm on hold. Ain't nobody saying nothing on the other end. So I got to have you talk back to me tonight. I don't feel like running down that amen in myself. Glory. I will if I have to. But it's going to take twice as long. I figured I'd get something from somebody. But you know, church, the reality is we need to have real victory. There is a world looking for answers. They're not going to find the answers in the church if we're messed up as bad as they are. Come on, church. Amen. The one thing we've got to realize is the world needs to see somebody got something they ain't got. And when we do that, it makes a difference in us. I remember when I was in high school, there was a guy in my school took me on as a personal project of salvation. Amen. I'll never forget Mark. I won't call his last name in case some of y'all know him. But back when I was in school, some of y'all old enough to remember when they read the Bible every morning over the intercom system and everybody got to listen. And this old boy would get up there and he'd read his scripture every morning and he'd pray and the last thing out of his mouth would be, God save Ken. And everybody in that school knew what Ken he was talking about. I mean, man, he prayed. I hated that guy. I'd done everything I could try to get him to quit praying for me, and he'd keep praying for me. I never forget when I finally got saved. I was down in the mall one day, and I come walking through there, and I seen him. I said, hey, Mark. Man, that guy took off running. I took off after him. I chased him into the parking lot at McFarland Mall in Tuscaloosa. If he hadn't failed, I don't believe I'd ever caught him. He big old fella, but I couldn't catch him. He was moving. I ran up to him, and he was getting up off the ground. He said, don't hit me, don't hit me, because I told you I used to treat him real bad. And I ran up to him, took him by the hand. I said, man, I'm not going to hit you. I want to tell you I love you. And, man, that old Baptist boy come up off that road. He throwed his arms around me, and you ain't never seen the looks. Me and him was getting in that parking lot hugging each other. Amen. But you know, church, the reality is I began to realize he had something I didn't have. Now, they were a bunch of guys in school I didn't have no respect for because every other week they'd be religious and then they'd be doing something else the next week. And I figured they wasn't no better off than I was, probably worse off because they was trying to do something they couldn't do. At least I was staying on a level plane. Hello? But this boy couldn't find nothing wrong with him. Had a problem with the fact that I couldn't knock a dent in his testimony. And because of that, I began to realize he's finally got something I really want. And the night I got saved, I did not see stars in the sky. I didn't see a vision of the cross. I saw Mark standing there saying, God, save Ken. And I gave my heart to it because I realized that boy's got something and I want it. And I'll be honest with you, church, there's a world outside looking at us and they're trying to find somebody got something they got to have. And for that reason, we need to understand this scripture. Paul said, hey, I want to tell you, thanks be unto God who has always caused me to triumph in Christ. Could you say amen? Notice, this did not come from a man without a religious background. Paul was raised to be a rabbi. He was probably destined to be the high priest of the Sanhedrin court. Amen. But you know what? He got touched on the road to Damascus and suddenly everything in his life changed. All his religious dogma went away. Everything he thought was right was wrong. And he got a hold of God and suddenly he became a different person in Christ. And he said, you know what? I might have been hung up in all that religion, but what I realize now, I got a victory that is beyond all victory. I hear him standing in front of the judge saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto them that will believe. Could you say amen? You see, church, number one, I've got victory in times of trouble through trusting in the Lord. Hello? 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Psalms 98:1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. 1 John 5:4. For whosoever is born to God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that we overcome the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all. God's promised us victory even in troubled times if we trust him. Amen. If we'll hang on to him, God's going to give us victory. Come on, church. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know about that. Let me tell you what the Psalms 37 says. It begins this way. Fret not thyself over evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they shall wither like a green herb. You know what he said? He said, don't get your mind on them folks that's doing good in the world and ain't living right. They're always going to be people like that. But understand this, no matter what they got in this world, they've got nothing in the world to come. But listen to what he says in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Could you say amen? Oh, church, what he's saying is, if you'll just trust in God, delight yourself in the Lord, and commit yourself to God, God's got a victory for you. And we need to understand, no matter what's going on right now, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Could you say amen? Woo! I told this, I don't remember if I told it here or not. A young man came up to me one day, and he said, preacher, if you can show me symmetry in the Bible, I'll go to church. Now, y'all ought not do stuff like that to a fellow like me, because that just makes me dig around to find what that boy's looking for. You know, I found out folks throw a challenge down to you, you pray about it, God will help you find an answer to that challenge. I said, well, son, I said, I seen him a day or two later. I said, let me ask you a question. Are you familiar with Scripture? He said, well, yeah, I go to church. I said, do you know the shortest chapter in the Bible? He looked at me sort of funny. Psalms 117. I said, do you know the longest chapter in the Bible? He stood there a minute. I said, Psalms 119. Do you know what the center chapter of the Bible, dead center chapter of the Bible? Psalms 118. He looked at me sort of funny. He said, well, what's that got to do with anything? There are 594 chapters before Psalms 118. There are 594 chapters after Psalms 118. Yeah, 594 to 594, you're going to get 1,188. Put a dot between the two eights, you got the dead center verse of the Bible. Psalms 118 and 8, the central theme of the Scripture. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Did you hear what God's trying to tell you through his whole word? Quit worrying about man. Quit trusting in the changing hands of the world, but put your trust in God and believe in him. And when you do, my God will bring you out, and my God will give you victory. Could you say amen? Proverbs said this in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Church, if we'd pray about stuff before we did it, we wouldn't have to pray about God getting us out of it when we was in it. I've had people buy a car and say, I believe it's God's will. And then they go broke trying to pay for it. And then they got to explain how God got them in something they couldn't afford. Of course, they come back and tell you, I put a fleece before the Lord. Anybody know there's a difference between putting a fleece before the Lord and fleecing the Lord? Don't look at me like that. I've seen people fleecing. They want something so bad, they ask God to make something happen they know can happen so they can do it. Lord, if you want me to buy that car, let it be there next week. If it's overpriced, it's going to be there next week. And then you're going to run down, oh, it's God's will. And then you're going to be over there, God help me, I can't pay for it. And he's going, I never helped you get it. You really want to put a fleece before God? Ask for something that ain't likely to happen unless God's in it. God, if you want me to buy that car, let it be half price next week, no money down. I don't even have to have a clunker to change in. 0% interest as long as I need to pay on it. Honey, if them times are met, you know God's all in that deal. Come on, church. You say, it ain't going to happen. If God's wanting you to get that car, it'll happen just like that. Come on, church, nod your head. Amen. I'm telling you, if you'll pray about it, God will help you find somebody. I don't know about Frida, but I was praying. She's been praying ever since. Lord, don't look at me, church. If we'd take this, we'd have some victory. But see, most of us function like the Old Testament Christians, the old Jewish people. we get in trouble because we march out on our own to do something. Then we'll be in trouble. Oh, God, help us. And we'll start, you know, offering all kinds of sacrifices and praying and God to get us out of trouble. And we'll forget who he is and get all in trouble again. And, oh, God, help me. But don't you realize if you want to live on the mountaintop, if you'll lean on him and trust in him, he'll keep you where you can make it. Even if you go through the valley, you understand that I'm only going through here for short term, because between every valley, there's a mountain on both sides. And sooner or later, I'm coming back to the top of that mountain because I trust in the Lord and I know my God's going to bring me out. Hallelujah. Number two, victory over death and the grave. Church, do you realize you don't have to die to live forever? Hello? Isn't that wonderful? All my life before I got saved, I thought you had to die to get to heaven. And I'm thinking, if I live long, that's a long way off. And then I got to finding out there was a victory we could have. Isaiah, he said this, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all our faces. And the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Did you hear what he said? He said, God's going to wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Church, I don't know about you, but I've cried about a lot of stuff in this earth. All of us have. We've had heartaches. We've had all kind of problems. There's coming a day down the road when I get on the other side, when he's going to wipe away all the tears from our eyes. There's not going to be any more pain, no more sorrow. Come on, church. I'm going to get up in the morning, walk down the hall, and not look like Red Sanford trying to run a race. Amen. My ankles are going to pop back in place. My knees are going to get right. I'm going to get up there and just have a big time. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to wake up every morning feeling good and refreshed because, well, actually, I'm not going to wake up because I'm probably never going to bed. I know some of y'all say, I'm going to a place of rest. My Bible said there ain't never going to be no night. Just one eternal day. Just praising and magnifying him who has given us the victory over the things of the world. Could you say amen? Listen, and Paul tells the church in Corinth. Now, he starts out by, behold, I show unto you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. For this corruption shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. And when it's come to pass that this corruption is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, so when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is the victory? For the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in God. I want to tell you something, church. You need to realize it's a mystery to the world, but no matter what happens, we're going to live forever and forever and forever in Jesus Christ. Though I die, I'm yet going to live in him. Could you say amen? Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, said, hey, comfort one another with these words. This is one of them sayings Paul had where he kept saying, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I used to misquote that on purpose and be talking to preachers. I said, you know, Paul talked about you and he said, I wouldn't have you ignorant, brethren. Glory. Come on, church. I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not, is those that have no hope. For we believe that if Jesus Christ comes, so also will he bring those with him who are asleep in the Lord. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And we which are alive shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He finished that with comfort one another with these words. When you're down and out and can't figure it out, realize it doesn't matter. If I die today, I'm coming back tomorrow. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. If I die in Christ, I'm going to live forever in him, because sooner or later I'm getting to that place. Come on, church. Amen. Listen, nobody in Scripture has ever looked for anything different than what we're looking for. They asked Abraham, what was you looking for? He said, I'm looking for a city whose foundations the builder and the maker thereof is God. And ever since that day, we've been looking for that place, that holy city, that new Jerusalem's going to descend out of heaven with a shout of God. And we're going to that place where we're going to hear the voice of God saying, behold, I will dwell with man and he shall dwell with me, and we're going to live forever and forever and forever. Could you say amen? Well, preacher, you going to die? Sure, I'm going to die. Everybody's going to die sooner or later. But because I got victory over sin, ain't gonna stay dead. Hello? That's good English. It's in the dictionary. Number three, I got victory over sin. Remember what he said in Corinthians? The strength of sin is the law. Sin was going to be that was going to give death. Listen to what Paul writes in the book of Hebrews. If you don't think Paul wrote it, that's your business. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Oh, that sounds bad, don't it? I'm going to die and stand in judgment. But I'm not afraid of judgment if I know that I'm justified by faith through grace, through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Why? Because when I stand in judgment, they're going to see all that over on the other side that ought to be holding me out, saying paid in full. Hallelujah. Come on, church. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to be set free through the blood of Calvary. Could you say amen? Praise God. In this is love. Amen. That a man would be a propitiation for his friends, a cover for their sins. Come on, church. That's all propitiation is, a highfalutin word for a cover-up. Amen. But listen to what he tells that 28th verse. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. You say, what are you getting at? That's victory, my friend. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Yes, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes a judgment. But if I die in Christ Jesus, he's coming again for those that are looking for him, and sin's bondage is going to be token away. All the troubles of life are going to be taken away, and I'm going to be carried into the eternities with God. My friend, that victory, scripture right there gives more victory than anything I read to you tonight. I got victory over judgment. I got victory over sin. I got victory over death. In that verse of scripture, I understand I'm going to live in victory in Jesus Christ forever. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Notice what he said. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, through God, who did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Listen to this next verse. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See, sin got in man in the Garden of Eden. Not yet. Somebody said, well, preacher, Eve started it. She's just a woman, didn't know a line when she heard one. Hello? Adam sinned because he was the one God put commitment in. You say, prove it. Scripture said, if by one man sin entered into the world, that saves it for me. It wasn't Eve, it was Adam that busted the bubble. Come on, church. Nod your head. That's good preaching. What enticed him? We know it to be a serpent. So therefore, man got snake bitten in the Garden of Eden, and that snake bite put sin in man, and sin, because of that snake bite, was translated to every human being that's ever been born on the face of the earth. So there had to be an antidote. The only way to create an antidote is to build up antibodies in the blood you're going to use for the antidote. You get bitten by a snake. Remember, if it happens and you go to the hospital, you got to know what kind of snake it was or they can't treat you. Don't go running there and say, it was poisonous. There's two fang marks, because they got to know, was it a rattler snake? Was it a cottonmouth? Was it a copperhead? Was it a ground rattler? Was it a coral snake? Because they can't give you antivenom unless it's from the snake in which you got bit, or they simply going to put the poison of another snake in your body. We had a guy in Buell. I think Mr. Henry died a couple of years ago. We had a guy in Buell. Used to work the traps down the swamp. He was not allergic to snake bites because he'd been bit so much he built up his own antibodies. Snakes had bite him, he'd gone about his business. Weird dude. I picked him up one day going to town. He got a grocery sack sitting right there on the ground in my car, and I hear something. I said, "What's in that sack?" And he said, "Rattlesnake, I'm taking the fellow up there in Northport." I stopped and said, "Get out. Paper sack in my car with a rattlesnake in it." He didn't think nothing about it. I said, "You can put it on top of the car, but it ain't riding in here with me." I couldn't drive for looking at the sack. He's running traps one day and got bit. His hand started swelling up, so the two guys with him said, "We got to take you to the hospital, Mr. Henry. You're going to die." They put him in a Ford Ranger pickup truck. Y'all remember them Ford Rangers? It wasn't big enough for two guys, much less three. They packed in that thing like sardines and drove from Buell 30 miles to Druid City Hospital. Carried him in there. Somebody called me and told me Mr. Henry had been shot, been bit. I headed to the hospital. I left and did. I met Pastor there, and we started back through the back, and all of a sudden there's a commotion like you wouldn't believe. People was running and screaming and carrying on. I'm like, "My God, what's going on?" And this cop passes, "Get out of the way, get out of the way." He's got his 357 drawn, headed to the back, and I'm thinking, "Oh God, somebody's finna shoot somebody." And about that time this guy come by and said, "That idiot's got a snake." All I could think was, "Mr. Hosmer." I got back there, and come to find out, the doctor said, "We got to know what kind of snake it was." He reached his shirt and said, "Well, here, tell me what it is." Handed it to him. He said, "It ain't nothing but a little old copperhead." A goofy cop was standing there with a gun cocked pointing at it. I said, "Dude, you pull that trigger, that bullet's going all over the place in this room." He said, "You're right." I said, "Mr. Henry, catch the stupid snake." He got up, caught the thing, stuck it back in his shirt. Junior Kelly, one of the guys that took him to the hospital, stand out there, said, "That thing could have bit us. We was packed up against him. It could have bit any one of us." He said, "Preacher, why are you telling us that?" "Because I wanted to get you where I could show you how this fits to nowadays. See, the way we get antivenom for snakes is that they take a horse over in Ross Island and they inject him with the poison of a rattlesnake until that horse begins to die. They literally put them in a harness to hold them up, because if they ever fall down, they would die, and they keep them there. But you'll watch, after a while, he begins to rage with fever. His eyes begin to turn red. His head begins to drop. His breathing gets real slow. He begins to sweat profusely. And all of a sudden, just at the last moment before he dies, there's a turnaround. He starts getting better. By the next morning, he's moving his head around. He's standing on his own 2 feet. He's starting to look good. And them doctors will walk in there and pop him again. And he'll go down again. And he'll get almost to the point of death. And suddenly he'll come back. And they keep doing that until they nail him one time with a big old syringe of poison. And nothing happens. He just keeps moving around like everything's all right. And when they do, they unharness him and move him out in the field. And they say, "From now on, we'll draw his blood." And that's what they give you, is the blood out of that horse, because the antibodies are built up to fight that serum, and it'll kill it almost instantly when it comes in contact with it. And they do the same with the cotton mouth and the copperhead and every one of them that they can build an antivenom to. That's why there's no antivenom for cobras. Every time they shot the horse, they died. You say, "Preacher, what's that got to do with God?" Because God needed an antidote. He took a little lamb, a spotless lamb, what we call Jesus of Nazareth, who had no sin, who had no infirmities, and they take him and they pop him with sin. And the Bible said he who knew no sin became sin. Why? Because that blood that came out of him when he died at that cross, it's the blood of the antidote that'll wash away every drop of sin in your life, because the antibody's built up. He's hanging there on the cross. He took our sins there. He begins to rage with fever. His eyes become bloodshot. His head drops, but he doesn't die. He comes out of that body, but he said, "I am he that was dead, yet now I'm alive, and I shall live forevermore. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, though they die, yet shall they live." And because he is that antidote, an injection of that blood will cure you of all the evil sin could put in your life and give you victory like you've never had before. Hallelujah. My blessed God. You see, that's the real victory. The victory that says I can live forever and forever and forever. And let me tell you something, church. You get snake bit, a poultice ain't going to help you. Come on, church. Not yet. You put a Band-Aid on it, you're still going to die probably. You got to have an injection. It's got to be injected into you. That antivenom's got to get in your body. Can I tell you, outside religion on the outside basis of your life is never going to get you free from sin, but an inward work of God. Come on, church. Say, preacher, you preached that this morning. I'm going to preach it every time I get in the pulpit, because the only way we ever get release from God is an inner work of God, a relationship born from that inner work, that one that begins to say, wait a minute, old things pass away, all things shall become new. All that old man died, that Adamic nature is gone. I'm no longer a creature that was born into sin, created in sin, and living in sin, but now I have been born again through the blood of Calvary. I am a spiritual creature born in the blood of God, and if I live that way, I've got a right to believe I can live in this world with the power and the grace to be an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. You say, preacher, how are you going to land this plane? I'm going to tell you something, church. There's some of you tonight living in fear of tomorrow. You don't know how you're going to make it. Some of you worrying so bad, you're having to take pills on a regular basis because you don't know how you're going to get by. Can I tell you? God is still the answer. I have a friend over in the soldier there who used to sing a song. That's the only place I ever heard it. He didn't write it, but he sings it. It said, when answers aren't enough, there's Jesus. When I can't get the answer from the doctor I need, there's still Jesus. When I can't get the answers from all the problems of my life, there is still Jesus. When I get the wrong answer from the doctor that says you ain't going to make it, there is still Jesus. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what the world says, there is still Jesus. He is still on the throne. He has the power to be able to make us overcomers. If we can believe in him, we can have victory because he has overcome the world. Would you stand with me all over the house? Victory in Jesus. Oh, friend, we've sung it in the old song. We've talked about it. But there's real victory in Jesus if we'll let him have his way. We'll just turn our life to him and let him go. There's victory in Jesus. It's not just something we talk about or sing about. It's real. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. Oh, Lord, have your way in this house tonight. Move on us, God, with your glory and your power. Master, in Jesus' name, give us victory tonight. Hallelujah. I want us to sing a little bit of that old song, number 120 in the hymn book. Let's just let God bless us tonight. If you're here and you need some victory, while we're singing it, I want you to step out and head to the front of this church. I don't even know if I'll have to pray for you, because I feel the victory of God in the front of this building. But I want us to let God have his way tonight. You don't know the song, get a book in your hand. It's an old song. You ought to know it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.